All right, so a couple of weeks ago, me, Pam, and Anna were walking around the track at the rec department here in Temple. And as we came around the track by the basketball courts in front of the gym there, a fight broke out among a group of teenagers. Not just an argument, not just pushing and shoving. I mean, there were two boys that were standing there throwing violent punches at each other. And around them were other teenagers, about 20 in all. And some were cheering, some were filming, some were just standing there watching. And as we walked by, I felt like the Holy Spirit just wouldn't let me ignore it. So I told Pam, I said, I'll be right back. And as soon as I walked away, she told Anna, we need to start praying for Dad, right? Now, to be honest, I didn't know what I was going to say. I just knew I couldn't, you know, walk away from it. And so I just walked up there in my dad voice and I was like, hey, 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 just to get their attention. And when I yelled, they stopped physically fighting and just stood there looking at me. One of the boys that was fighting, he walked away, continuing to shout profanities at the other. But as the others looked at me, the first thing that came out of my mouth was this. I said, wouldn't y'all agree that there's just too much hate in the world today? And a few of them nodded. And one of the boys actually had an FCA shirt on. And so I asked another question. I said, how many of y'all would say that you believe in God? And five or six hands went up in the group. And then I said, how many of you would say that you follow Jesus? And those that raised their hands like sheepishly nodded yes, right? And I said, this is not how Jesus wants us to live. This is not how he wants us to treat each other. Now, I would love to tell you that revival broke out at the rec department that afternoon, but eventually more teenagers showed up, more arguments broke out, and things escalated to the point that I actually had to call the police to intervene. But I haven't been able to get that moment out of my mind, because the truth is that scene wasn't all that unusual in our current cultural climate. We see it every day. We see it online. We see it in videos. We see it in comment sections. We see it in acts of road rage. We see it in our schools. We see it in our workplaces. We even see it in our homes. We live in a world that seems increasingly angry. I don't know if you can feel it. It seems increasingly divided and increasingly hostile toward one another. Everybody sees it. Everybody talks about it. Everybody seemingly wishes things were different. The question is, what does Jesus have to say about it? That's the question that basically I was posing to those teenagers there at the rec that day. So as Jesus begins to bring the Sermon on the Mount to a close, he addresses not only how we treat one another, but the path we choose to walk. So with that being said, let's look at Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 12, and we're just going to read through 14 today, okay? So Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 12, this is what Jesus says. He says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Jesus says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, most of us know this verse as the golden rule, right? This is actually another verse that many people, including those who do not go to church, have memorized, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We've heard it our entire lives, right? In fact, because we've heard it so often, there's a danger that we miss how radical what Jesus is saying actually is in our world, right? Jesus isn't simply teaching good manners. He's not just saying, be nice to one another. He's describing an entirely different way of living. Notice what he says, right? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Think about that. Jesus doesn't tell us to treat people the way they treat us. He tells us to treat people the way we would want to be treated. That's very different, wouldn't you agree? The world says, I'll respect you if you respect me. Jesus is saying, you go first. The world says, I'll forgive if they apologize. Again, Jesus says, you go first. The world says, I'll show kindness if they deserve it. And again, Jesus says, you go first. This is exactly what Jesus himself has been teaching throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Turn the other cheek. forgive, show mercy, seek reconciliation. We've been talking about it for weeks. It's this entirely upside down way of living from the rest of the world. So this isn't an isolated verse. If you look at the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount, this is a summary statement of the entire sermon, right? Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. That's why Jesus says right after that, he says, for this is the law and the prophets. Jesus actually says something very similar that those of us who have been going to church, especially Grace City Church for a while, are familiar with. In Matthew chapter 22, when he is asked, what is the greatest commandment? How does he answer? He answers this way. Listen, Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to this. He says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The exact same thing Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. He says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Why does he say that? Because listen, you can't separate love for God from love for people. We can sing about loving God. We can talk about loving God. We can post Bible verses about loving God. But Jesus says the evidence of your love for God will be seen in how you treat those around you. That's why he says in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. In other words, love isn't merely part of the Christian life. It's not just part of following Jesus. Love is the evidence that we belong to him. The world should be able to look at those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus. They should be able to look at believers and see something different in us, a different spirit, a different attitude, a different way of treating people. So the question isn't whether we claim to follow Jesus. The question is whether people can see Jesus in the way that we love others. And that's what makes the next verses so important. Okay, in verse 13, let's pick up. This is what Jesus says. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. All right. This is Jesus telling us why this kind of life that he's describing is so rare. Now, listen, I don't believe Jesus is changing subjects here when he talks about how we should treat people and then goes right into the broad road and the narrow way explanation. Right? I don't believe he's changing subjects. I believe he's continuing along with the same thought, right? Jesus has just described the way his followers are called to live. Now he tells us that most people, listen to me, most people won't choose it. Jesus has spent almost the entire sermon telling us how we're to live and how we're to treat other people. And then he summarizes here by saying that most people won't choose that kind of life. Why? Because the broad road is easier. The broad road says, look out for yourself, protect yourself, promote yourself, get even, hold grudges, demand your rights, put yourself first. The broad road follows the natural instincts of the human heart. The narrow road, however, requires surrender. The narrow road requires humility. It requires forgiveness. It requires love. Again, this is one sermon Jesus is teaching, right? This is the summary of all the things he's taught to this point. And Jesus says there are few, few who will walk the narrow path that leads to life. But many, many, he says, are on the broad road that leads to destruction, a way that doesn't require transformation. It simply requires following your own impulses and your own selfish desires, right? Doing whatever you think is right. And isn't that exactly what we see in the world around us? As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says this about people in the end times. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We've read this before, but listen to this. Paul says, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, pretending to be good, but denying its power. Avoid such people, he says, right? Now, be honest, doesn't that describe the culture that we live in? Everybody seems to be selfish these days. Everybody's angry. Everybody's offended. Everybody's fighting. Everybody's blaming somebody else. Again, we see it online. We see it in politics. We see it in families. We see it in our community, right? We see it in schools. The broad road is crowded. The broad road is crowded because selfishness comes naturally. Love does not. This is why Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Its end is the way to destruction. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end is destruction. In other words, there's a way that seems normal and right to the world, but in the end, it's a destructive path, right? And can we all just agree that what's normal in this world isn't working? I mean, it's not working. Think about it. What's normal when it comes to our time today? We're constantly overwhelmed, constantly rushed, stressed out, panicked. There's never enough time, is there, right, for what's truly important, because we're overwhelmed with what the world is telling us is urgent. And where does that lead? It leads to anxiety and fear, neglecting our families, neglecting our spouses and our children, neglecting our own spiritual health, our own mental and physical health. What's normal in this world when it comes to money? Normal is the pursuit of material things. Normal is credit, right? If you want it, it doesn't matter if you can afford it. You go out and you buy it. You just charge it. Where does that lead, right? Mountains of debt, people drowning in financial debt, right? Becoming slaves to financial fears. What's normal when it comes to relationships? Well, most relationships in our world right now, and I've said this before, are transactional. You do for me and I'll do for you. And the moment you have nothing to offer me is the moment that I no longer need this relationship. And because of this kind of attitude, things like promiscuity become normal, right? Not really committing to any one person because you want to have fun. That's what's normal. Well, where does that all lead? When people finally do commit to one another, they carry tons of emotional and spiritual and physical baggage into a relationship. People are so quick to bail on their marriages, with over half of them ending in divorce. And I've said this many times before, but it's hard to look at what's normal in this world and actually think that the world is becoming a better place. You'd be extremely naive and foolish to think that. For all of our advancements as a culture, for all of our technology and all of our education, we don't seem to be getting healthier as a people. We only seem to be getting more and more broken. And this is why Jesus came to die on a cross. Because when left to our own devices, we always follow the path of destruction. His death on the cross not only paid the price for our sin and our rebellion and our treason against him, but also calls us to new life. A life that's lived in sharp contrast to the normal ways of this world. We're not called to be normal. We're called to be set apart. We're called to be holy. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here in these verses. The broad road doesn't look dangerous at first, and that's exactly what makes it dangerous. It looks normal. Everybody's on it. Everybody approves of it. Everybody says that it's fine until they arrive at the destination. But Jesus says there's another road, a narrow road, a different road, a road that runs against the grain of this culture, a road that runs against the desires of the flesh, a road that requires us to follow him rather than follow the crowd. several years ago when my oldest daughter, Bella, who's now in college, was starting middle school, I actually shared this passage with her about the broad road and the narrow road. I was kind of nervous about the kind of influences that she would start to see in her teenage life. And so I shared this passage with her, and I wanted to help her in that moment. And I think we all should be doing this as parents, discipling our kid. I wanted to help her to discern right from wrong, right? Because I can't be with her 24/7 and point things out and say, that's right, that's wrong, don't do that, do this. I can't do that, right? So at some point, we have to let our kids start to see right from wrong for themselves. And so I shared this passage with her, and I told her that the broad road had no boundaries, right? Where people can go wherever they want and do whatever they want. But what they don't realize is that the road that they're on isn't a good one and ultimately leads to hurt and regret and destruction. This is what I said to her. I said she would begin to see kids who would begin to push boundaries and start to make bad decisions. And she's probably had already seen some of that, right? But they'll start to make bad decisions with the way that they talk and the way that they treat others and the way that they respect authority and even the way that they view the opposite sex, decisions that aren't good for them and aren't pleasing to God. And I told her, you don't have to follow them. Right? The broad road has many people on it, and we don't have to follow the crowd. Jesus has marked out a different road for us. The goal isn't to fit in. The goal is to follow Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that same truth applies to every single one of us. That same thing that I shared with Bella, it applies to every single one of our lives. This is the point of the whole sermon Jesus is preaching, right? Just look at the Beatitudes in the beginning in Matthew chapter 5. He's telling us this is what it looks like to be on the narrow road. This is what it looks like to follow me. This is what it looks like to interact with the world around you and to love the world around you. And then this is what it looks like to do otherwise. And he says, this leads to destruction. This leads to life. So when Jesus was looking at the crowd that day, he wasn't giving them a list of religious rules. He was presenting them with a choice. Two gates, two roads, two destinations. One road is broad, popular, easy, normal. The other road is narrow, difficult, countercultural, set apart. And one of the clearest ways we reveal which road we're on, Jesus says, is by how we treat other people. This is why Jesus begins this passage with the golden rule, right? Because the broad road is the path of self. The narrow road, as demonstrated by Jesus' own life, is the path of love. The broad road says, what about me? The narrow road says, forget about me. How can I love my neighbor? The broad road says, what do I deserve? The narrow road asks, how would I want to be treated? The broad road follows the crowd. The narrow road follows Jesus. So the question isn't whether you believe the world is broken. I think most people agree on that. Even a group of teens at the rec department can see that. The question is, it's the same question I posed to them, which path are you walking on? Are you walking on the broad road, the road that leads to brokenness and destruction, or are you on the narrow road that leads to life? Because every day we choose, will we follow the crowd or will we follow Jesus? Will we live like everyone else or will we walk the narrow road that leads to life? That's the choice that we have to make every single day. The path of following Jesus is difficult, and it's different than the way the rest of the world operates, but it operates in love and it operates in holiness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, as we look at the world around us, Lord, we see such brokenness. God, it broke my heart to see these two teenage boys. And listen, I was a teenage boy who got in fights on the playground and all of that. So I understand it, but that was before you. And so it breaks my heart to see such hatred that one man has toward another and a crowd has. and the energy that they pick up on the hate and hostility that they're witnessing, even filming it and calling other people to be involved. Lord, it's just such a broken mess. There has to be a better way. And God, thank you, God, that you've given us the way that leads to life. And it's a way of love. And it's a way of respect. And it's a way of holiness. And so, God, I pray for those watching right now, because as we see how the world reacts to one another every single day, it's easy for us to get caught up in the anger. You know, when the temperature's hot, it's easy for us to get hot, Lord. And so I pray for those watching, Lord, that every single day we will choose to walk the narrow path, the path of love, the path that leads to life, that every single day we will choose the path that looks most like Jesus. And God, I pray that people will begin to see Jesus in our lives, that they will know that we belong to him by how we love one another. So teach us how to be different, Lord. Show us how to be set apart. Show us how to live in a different way than the rest of this broken world around us. Help us to be a light in the midst of the darkness. And I pray, Father, that we would honor and glorify you in all that we say and do and how we treat those around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.